yeah, and they say yeah. And
welcome to the Doghouse, your inside look at the Cleveland Browns on SB Nation's Dogs by Nature. Andy McNamara alongside Matt Florjanson getting you ready. Hopefully another win for the Cleveland Browns coming up as they play the Washington football team at First Energy Stadium. Matt, how you feeling about the game this week, man? We have had a nice long 10 days of basking in that win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Now it's go time once again with Washington coming into town.
Yeah, those 10 days seem to go pretty quick, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I know. It's a long time to feel happy for a Browns fan, yeah.
Yeah, but it was good that they gave us some optimism going into this one. It's going to be pretty tough. They know that they have quite the task on their hands. The offensive line is coming off of a great game. They've got Conklin back as healthy as he can be, so he'll be at right tackle. And it couldn't come at a better time because that front for Washington is legit. You get Chase Young, who looks like he's shot out of a cannon coming off the line of scrimmage. And then you get Montez Sweat and some other guys in there. And you've got yourself a whale of a challenge. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle it.
Well, you have, Matt. The front four are all first-round picks. And the first guy off the bench, Kerrigan, is also a first-round pick. So you have five on the rotation on the Washington defensive front with first-draft talent, first-round talent, which is incredible. Wyatt Teller for the Browns graded out as, like, the top guard from Pro Football Focus last week. Jedrick Wills looks awesome. Now, this is going to be a really big test for him. But the good thing, though, Matt, is the Browns have the extra tight ends. They have the quality running backs. They got the fullback. They have places to help if need be. So it's not like in years past where, well, if you get past the one guy on the line, it's over. They have the pieces to help keep Baker Mayfield safe, which is pretty reassuring.
Yeah, I don't know that in the 20-something years that the Browns have been back that they've had this kind of talent on the offensive side of the football.
No, they've
had playmakers, but they haven't had this kind of talent, not across the offensive line and at the skill positions. It was always one or the other. Mm. They are really, really good in terms of talent that's in place, and they're starting to learn the schemes of Kevin Stefanski to make them even more effective. And hopefully they can find a way to take Washington's aggressiveness up front and kind of use it against them.
Right.
Have some inside runs, let Chubb and Hunt go on short routes over the middle, dump it off to them and see what they can do with it. Personally, I'm actually excited about seeing this game because it's strength versus strength. It's our offensive line is probably the strength of our team right now, based off of what we saw in Cincinnati.
Right,
all due
right.
respect to Nick and Kareem, because they had to do some power running through some tackles. That offensive line gave them a lot of space, and they wore down the Bengals. They're going to be going up against really good defensive line, and they're going to have to figure out who's going to blink first. And you've got to feel a little bit better as a Browns fan than you would in past years. The most obvious example is last year when they played another defense that had five first round picks in the front seven, and they got run off the field.
49ers. Yep. Yeah, that's it. You're right. And probably, Matt, the most offensive talent since, what, 2007? But this has even more, right? Because there you had, who was it? Who was the running back? Jamal Lewis.
They had Derek Anderson was your quarterback. You had Braylon. You had
Winslow.
K2, who's now, completely gone off the rails.
Yeah.
With his career and his life, who was the running back?
It was Jamal Lewis.
I don't think it was Jamal Lewis at the time, was it?
In 2007, I'm pretty sure it was. I think that was his, like, I think it was.
That was his one good year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'll look that up while we chat, but I'm pretty sure it is. And then you had Joe Juravicius as well, right? Like that you had and Joe Thomas's first year. Imagine that, like Joe Thomas's first year. It's crazy. It was our first season trip down to Cleveland. My dad and I going down. That was the first year in 2007. And boy, Matt, going to a live game, they just destroyed the Dolphins. We thought, hey, this is could get used to this. And we've only had two wins since when we visited. So didn't quite go.
You've been down here for almost the equivalent of a full season's games, haven't you? You're close to 16 trips, right?
Well, yeah, it would have been 14 this year. Yeah, so it was 2007 onward. So the whole duration of Joe Thomas's career, and then this year would have been 14. So,
you're 3-10?
That is correct, sir. That win, New England in November 2010, and then versus the Saints in 2014. That's it.
Ouch.
That's all. There's been a lot of sad Sundays. But the great thing is with the trip that we go down, this was supposed to be the weekend that we're down with Kelly and Donnie from Ohio. And it was Kelly's birthday as well, so it would have been her birthday trip there. And just, you know, disappointing. Pretty bummed about that. But overall, it was something where... You know, we were hoping for a really fun trip in time to see also like Dwayne Haskins, Chase Young, Terry McLaurin, like some nice Ohio Buckeyes representation this weekend as well. I'm looking to Matt. Yes. So that was his best year. 2007, it was Jamal Lewis's first year with the Browns, rushed for 1,304 yards and then went for just over 1,000 the year after and then only played 9 games the week after that. And then he retired. That was it.
Yeah, they didn't have the talent in 2007 that they have now. And
oh no,
I feel a lot better going into games with the offensive talent that they have now than I think pretty much at any other point since they came back in 99 mm-hmm. and definitely since I started covering this team 12 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, you mentioned the strength of the defensive line, the strength for the Browns, the offensive line, and that's really it for Washington. Like, the strategy for the Browns has to be whatever your first offensive drive is, you get yourself a touchdown and hopefully an extra point. Come on, Cody. You know, keep it going, Parkey. Let's go. Keep the good times rolling. But if you score...
Yes, your number one fan is really enjoying watching you split the uprights with PATs.
I am the number one Cody Parkey fan until he misses one and then... I will abandon him instantly.
Yeah, then he's dead to you.
Then he's immediately, again, second time. So he's resurrected and then he'll be dead to me again. Yeah. Parkey's back. But Matt, the strategy I think has to be for the Browns. You score first, right? And then what you're able to do is really just on offense, run the ball, of course. That would be the plan anyway. Maybe some nice bubble screens, right? Like have that offensive line collapse a little bit, dump it over the top. Now, that could be tough because Baker Mayfield's known to have some passes batted down. But to the outside, I'd love to see the tight ends worked in a bit more. Like, let's see a little more Austin Hooper here getting into this week if you're going to pass the ball. Like, that's, you know, he's getting paid a lot of cash. I think this could be a nice game for the quick dump-offs. If you're not looking running back, you look to the tight end.
Yeah, I mean, they are the safety valve for a quarterback when everything goes wrong. And he has a hell of a lot of talented safety valves at that position. Hooper, obviously the starter. Njoku made some plays in his outing earlier this year. And then Harrison Bryant.
I like him a lot.
Been pretty impressive. I mean, just a strong-bodied kid that actually has a pretty good knack for playing in tight spaces. Like, he seemingly knows his craft pretty well. And that's not common for a rookie at the tight end position. It's easy to be a wide receiver and play early because they can call certain route trees that you're comfortable with. But as a tight end, you got so much more responsibility being tight to the offensive line and trying to open up some holes in the running game too, and really adding as an extra blocker and then going about your route. I mean, he's really come along probably faster than we thought he was going to, coming from a smaller school. Yeah. But he's really, to me, he's been impressive. And I know his stat line isn't great. Nobody's stat line is great in the passing game right now. but just some things that he's doing away from the ball give me confidence that he could be a nice number two option for tight end at this point for this team.
I totally agree. I think his upside is huge. Follow us on Twitter as well, folks, at AndyMC81, at Matt Flurjancic, Instagram as well, at AndyMCSports, at Matt Flow Sports. And Matt, I wonder for Baker Mayfield, because I'm sure the Washington game plan as well to try to utilize that defensive line is to keep him in the pocket. We saw last week against the Bengals, roll Baker out, the play action. That's why getting the run started is so important, so they have to respect it. But pinning him in is going to be a top priority, I'm sure, for Washington. And that's going to be something to overcome because, you know, Alex Van Pelt, Stefanski, everybody on the Browns has mentioned that is obviously where Baker's strength is, throwing on the run, rolling out. And they have to keep doing things to make sure he's able to do that. Because if Washington can keep him pinned in and, you know, maybe stop the run a little early, that's going to be... Not ideal, I think would be safe to say, for Baker and the Browns.
Yeah, you don't want him trying to throw 45 times against this front because he's going to get hurt. Yeah. Not hurt, but he's going to get hit.
He's going to get hit.
And he's going to get hit a lot. The running game has to be the key to this thing. This offense for the entire year is going to be as successful as Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt can be. If those guys are moving the ball on the ground, that's going to open up the pass game. That's going to neutralize defensive aggressiveness against you. That's going to give Baker time if he's in the pocket or to utilize play action and then do rollouts and try to throw on the move. Personally, that's just how I feel, is that it starts with the offensive line opening holes for that running game. And if the running game can be effective, even against this tough defensive front, that's going to be good for the Browns. Good things are going to happen off of that.
Right. Oh, for sure. And for the defensive side, Matt, let's look at this straight away. Chase Young, just a beast, broke all the Bosa records, sack records and all that at Ohio State, monster, versus Myles Garrett. Now Myles obviously is a larger body of work to Chase Young's two games. But just looking at them right now, is there, and we're happy with Miles. We love Miles, okay? But, you know, if we're playing a little who'd you rather, who'd you rather have right now? Would it be Myles Garrett or Chase Young?
That's tough because there is a bigger body of work with Myles Garrett. But Chase is just so explosive off the line. I mean, it's not a matter of using moves to beat guys. He's just flat out better than the guys that he's seen so far.
Yeah.
I still think I would go with Miles though, because he is more of a technician and knows his craft. Not to say as Chase Young doesn't, but he's relying on a lot of natural skill that he's developed over time and hasn't had to use a crazy arsenal of moves to get past left tackle.
Okay, yeah.
Miles understands things differently because he's had that time on task at the NFL level. And I would go with, at this point, I would still go with Miles. And I love Chase Young. I love the fact that he was an Ohio State guy. I love the fact that he can get into the backfield and cause havoc. But there were plays in the first 2 weeks where he was unblocked. People did not account for him.
Hmm.
I don't know how you missed that guy on film. I really don't, because no. He's kind of a stud.
Uh-huh. Kind of stands out.
But people have. I don't think Miles sees too many missed assignments. He may be able to bull rush a guy and get through him, but I don't think that people look at the Browns defense and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to shift our focus to the other side. Don't worry about 95. We just run the opposite way. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
I don't think you see that.
No. And the thing is too, Matt, you have to, for Chase Young, when there's more film on him and teams figure out how to game plan and then you have to adjust. That's something we just don't know. For the Browns defense, you're facing a team with the worst completion percentage in the NFL. I love Dwayne Haskins, and I hope he develops. But right now, man, you got him. The only weapon around him is Terry McLaurin. If you're looking fantasy football, folks, it's pretty much McLaurin, and that's it. Logan Thomas at tight end, maybe, because the Browns have trouble defending tight end. The backfield is a hodgepodge. There's not a lot to really get excited about when you look at the Washington offense, and that's why the Browns got to get out early lead. Then you can have our defensive line, Myles Garrett and everybody, pin the ears back and go get the quarterback and really force him. Because the last thing you want is for this thing to be entering the third quarter and it's like 6-3 on field goals, right? You need to get up. You need to force him to throw the ball.
Yes, you do. McLaurin is really their star. They don't have much of a running game.
Their
running
sucks.
Back situation was completely thrown out of whack when they had to cut Geis earlier in the year. It might have been during training camp,
yeah,
or either right before because of off the field issues. So they were thrown in a state of flux from the beginning at running back. So they're kind of sledding uphill there. It's all on Dwayne Haskins and subsequently Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas to carry an entire offense. That's not an easy ask for any quarterback. It's a really difficult ask for a guy who's in the league for his second year.
It's just not
a good situation to be in.
No, and just like Baker Mayfield, second year, new offensive system, right? Like it's not an ideal recipe. Injuries, again, Matt, I guess if you have to, again, if the offense can get up, if you have to have guys miss a week, I'd rather this week than against Dallas. Denzel Ward, groin injury, truly questionable is the reading. Greedy Williams out again. Like, Greedy, man, you got to start playing, bro. Like, he's missed a lot of time. Good news, Kevin Johnson is back from that lacerated liver, so he will play. Adrian Claiborne, hip, should be back. Olivier Vernon, it looks like he's going to be out again. That's a bust of a deal, man. Vernon again. Jeez. Like him and Williams. Come on, man. Like Mac Wilson, I think is going to be limited, right? Like he might play a little bit. I think they'll work him in slowly, though, if he does suit up.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be full tilt.
No, no need to
quite
rush him back
yet. I think he's going to be, and I don't know that he needs to be right now. Obviously, he would help the linebacking corps. But I don't think they've been the problem in terms of the first 2 weeks, any struggles that they've had. I mean, they obviously need to tackle better, but I think the secondary is of greater concern at this point.
Right, exactly. And so you would have what? With Williams out, Terrence Mitchell. But if Denzel's out, who do you pop in there? Like Robert Jackson off the practice squad? Like that's Kevin Johnson's more, you want him as your nickel. Like that's their, if you miss again Ward and Williams, that's a missing a lot there, Matt. That's why again you gotta get out because you know with such limited weapons, at some point even you know you get the ball to McLaurin enough, he's gonna break some tackles if you're that down.
Yeah, and not exactly the best bunch of tacklers in the secondary when they're healthy.
That's true.
So very. Very big area of concern for this team. The good thing is that Washington doesn't have too many weapons coming into the game. The thing you want to prevent is people from saying, oh, look at how talented the rest of the Washington offense is besides Terry McLaurin. That's worst case scenario, and you want to avoid that like the plague.
We've been there. We have been there. I'm just looking at the Browns depth chart. After Ward, it goes Kevin Johnson, who, again, you'd want as the nickel. But MJ Stewart after that, Tavier Thomas. Oof. Boy, we start getting a little lean when it comes there. But, you know, we'll see on that. Matt, what about – I want to get your thoughts before we get our game prediction and break. Odell Beckham Jr. sounding mature, saying this week, hey, you know what? It might not be that type of statistical year for me. I love blocking for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. To Odell's credit, he's thrown some nice blocks early on in the year, like selfless, which is good. But what did you think of hearing that? Like, that seems to me like, okay, you know, that's fine if they're winning, but if the Browns start sliding a little bit, that could be a bit of a problem, possibly in the locker room for Odell's attitude.
You just said it. It's fine when they're winning.
Yeah, yeah.
When they're not, we'll see.
Right.
I'll just leave it at that.
You got to win this week.
We'll see where this team is at the bye week, and then we'll see what the tune everybody is singing.
Yeah, because he likes the attention. But winning, you know, trumps all. You got the Cowboys next week, Colts, Steelers, Bengals, Raiders, then the bye. So you got to win this one. Go up 2-1 with a difficult stretch coming up after that. Okay, Matt, official prediction time, and we'll get on out of here. Who do you got and score for Browns versus the Washington football team?
Yeah, I think I'm 0-2 this year. Hopefully I can break that streak. And I'm going to say 24-14 Browns.
24-14 Browns. Browns favored by 7, by the way, folks. I'm going to say 21-13 Browns. I'll say that. I think it gets a little cautious and hopefully some ground and pound after an early lead, and they sort of grind it out. And just not too many field goal attempts, okay? Just let's be cool. Score touchdowns, okay? Don't stress me out here.
Let's keep the kicking to a minimum.
Keep the Browns kicking to a minimum, please. All right, let us know your predictions. Hit us up on Twitter. We'll post the link up at AndyMC81, at Matt Fleur Jancic, Instagram too, at AndyMC Sports and at Matt Flow Sports. And Matt, tell people where they can check out your blog and find all your great work.
MattFloorJancic52.wordpress.com. The blog is called From the Best Seat in the House, and I tweet pretty much all of my links out. So
nice.
If you can't find me online, look at me on Twitter and you'll be able to find my work.
Boom. Love it. All right, folks. Hey, let's hope we are talking a Victory Monday episode of the Doghouse. Cleveland Browns, Washington football team. For Matt, I'm Andy. You've been listening to The Doghouse, your inside look at the Cleveland Browns on SB Nation, Dogs by Nature.